Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. Welcome back, Byron Katie. Byron Katie, author of 1,000 Names for Joy and also Loving What Is, and creator of The Process. Did we call it a process? Called The Work?
The Work.
These four questions will join any program you've got and enhance it. Any religion you have, they'll enhance it. If you have no religion, they will bring you joy, and they'll burn up anything that isn't true for you. They'll burn through to the reality that has always been waiting. And the four questions are?
Is it true?
Is it true?
Can you absolutely know that it's true?
Mm-hmm.
And you identify a concept, and then you apply these questions to that concept. Third question, how do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? And the fourth question, who would you be without that thought?
Okay.
And then I invite people to turn the thought around.
Okay. Well, let's start, because the last time you were here, you said when you first discovered the work, when you were able to come into this, that you were 200 pounds, mm-hmm. over 200 pounds,
yes.
and that you had been depressed and agoraphobic and really at rock bottom, suicidal,
yes.
and all of those things. And then the cockroach rolled over your foot. You had the awakening. And since then, life has turned around for you.
Radically.
Radically.
Yeah.
And have you not suffered since that day?
Not suffered since that day.
And that was how long ago, Katie?
That was 22 years ago.
You have not suffered?
I haven't experienced that. Well, you know, I'm very open to suffering. And I haven't experienced sadness, but I'm very open to sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very open to anger, but you have to believe your stressful thoughts before you can experience those emotions.
How do you define suffering?
Sadness, resentment, anger. But, you know, I cry a lot. I'm moved to tears.
But not suffering. Not to the place.
Genuine. No suffering.
Have you not lost a loved one?
Yes, I lost my mother
a
couple of years ago. And
did you not suffer?
Well, I didn't.
You didn't suffer?
I didn't.
How?
Oh, it was, I'm so full of love, there's no room for it. My goodness, I dropped my whole schedule and I went to live with her. She had pancreatic cancer and I stayed with her. And my goodness, you know, I'm still waiting for her to die. When she died, I was holding her hand, looking directly into her eyes. And she was there, and then she wasn't. And I continued to look directly into her eyes to see death. And it never happened. It was all in my mind. And because I don't mind death, I see death as a wonderful thing. I see life as a wonderful thing. So, you know, when people are frightened of death, for
when you say it wasn't there, you said she'd gone though. She disappeared. She disappeared.
She was there, and then she wasn't.
She was there, and then she wasn't.
Mind stopped identifying as that human being was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when a mind can no longer identify with a body, you know, when the mind says move, stand up, sit down, and the body won't do it, it quickly discovers its own game, and there's no way to identify any longer, so it's everything.
So if you don't suffer, what do you do when you're feeling bad?
Well, you don't.
Do you feel badly?
I don't feel badly. Oh, this
in
sounds
22
so
years.
Ridiculous.
No, it sounds great to me.
Well, you
it
know,
sounds like I want some of that.
You know,
you feel badly. You don't have bad days.
No, not yet. As
not
I say,
in 22
I am
years?
Wide open. No.
Okay, so what do you feel when you are not, are you joyous all the time?
Well, there's a balance, and it isn't what people maybe would consider joy to be, like happy, 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 happy,
not
happy.
Not zippity-doo-dah.
Yeah, and that happens also, but there's a balance, a peace.
A contentment.
Yeah, yes, and self-realization, until it's lived, there's no power in it. It has to be lived, love lived, and And I don't, there isn't anything more powerful
than
that.
Well, I love what you're saying, that the main reason you don't suffer ever is because...
I don't believe my stressful thoughts. I don't believe the thoughts that used to stress me out. For example, back to my mother, when she died, like the work is four questions and a turnaround. After a person has questioned what they have believed, their stressful thoughts that they have believed, then, for example... They might think, first, oh, my mother died, my mother died, my mother died. Mm-hmm. But you question what you believe, and it's, oh, my mother died. And it's a celebration.
Okay,
and you
say
feel
that
so
again.
Connected.
Say that again.
My mother died, I'm so sad. Turned
right.
around, my mother died. I am so happy for her. I'm so happy for me.
Why would I be happy if my mother died?
Well, let's look at that. If your mother has pancreatic cancer, why is she better off? Or the baby that dies, that we say they haven't lived out their life. Of course they've lived out their life. That was their life. From here to there, that was their life. It wasn't too late or too early.
But I wanted it to be longer.
And you lose. You know, there is
And
there
so
is
therefore
reality.
I'm going to suffer because of that.
That's right, because you're arguing with what is.
Okay.
Now, why is it a better thing that my mother died? She no longer suffers. She, I don't have to watch her suffer.
But I wanted her to be here with me.
Well, there you have it. You know, it's a totally selfish thing. It's like, don't die. It doesn't matter. I'm more comfortable when you live. That is so egoic.
And that is what you mean by loving what is or being able to accept what is.
Yes, no matter what happens.
Okay, okay.
You know, I was blind, so blind. I had an eye disease, a Fuchs dystrophy, very painful disease. And I continued with a full schedule. I traveled all over the world. I fell down staircases, flights of stairs, bumped into walls. I had amazing experiences. But and now I've got two cornea transplants. They said that couldn't happen. But my husband, Stephen mm-hmm. Mitchell, he's a most amazing man.
Right.
He Googled until he found a way. And I was like the 40th
cornea
guinea
transplant
pig.
Person, yeah.
Yeah. And oh my goodness. And people say, have you rejected the transplants? And I said, I'm never going to reject the transplants. They can reject me. I'm certainly not going to reject them, but they have a right to reject me. Everything has a right to its life.
Okay. So you say in the beginning of Loving What Is that it is our thoughts about a given situation that causes us suffering when we label the situation. The thoughts that we're believing about the situation, and that it is our resistance to whatever the moment is. Now, I actually... was reading your book and had gotten, was reading your book on a Thursday night and then had to do something all day Friday. And that evening, Friday evening, I started to get really, really, really sick. I mean, all of a sudden my body ached, I was sore, achy inside myself. So much so I didn't even think I was going to make it home and, you know, make it to bed. And there was only my dogs in the house with me and security. I remember in the middle of the night being too tired to wake up to even, I was like groggy and wanted to ask security to bring some water, but too tired to reach for the phone to even say, bring some water.
Yeah.
So I was really sick. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I had the thought after reading your book, I'm going to stop resisting being sick. Because I'm trying not to be sick. I'm in the middle of sick, going, oh, I can't believe how sick I am. I'm so sick. I suddenly had the thought or feeling that I'm going to release my resistance to being sick. I'm going to embrace it. I said, I'm going to embrace it.
Yeah.
Makes me want to cry thinking about it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to embrace it and see what happens. I fell asleep and I woke up miraculously cured.
It is amazing to love what is. See, that's a description.
And I wouldn't have thought I would have been able to get out of bed in the next 3 days. I was thinking, how am I going to get to work? How am I going to fly back across country?
Goosebumps. You stopped arguing with reality.
I stopped fighting it.
It's a magical world. And then if you get still and you go back and you look at how your body really was and you look back, was that pain? Was it really pain or was it something else?
I don't know what it was. I now don't know what it was. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like what we are calling sadness or you know, sadness. I invite people to question that. Is it sadness or is it love? And to get really still, are those feelings sadness or are they love, like when a loved one dies? And to get really honest about it, maybe it's love, maybe it's not sadness.
Well, I am going to cry because I lost my dog, Sophie, and she'd been with me for 13 years, yeah. every day, everywhere. And I was sitting alone this weekend just thinking about her, and I passed a picture of her on the wall. And I had that feeling. I mean, is this, you know, trying to be in touch with what am I really feeling? Yeah. What am I really feeling?
Yes.
I miss her physical body because she slept on the bed every night. But what I'm really feeling is a deep, deep love for her.
Yeah.
A deep love for her.
Yeah.
A deep love for her. And wondering if I was able, this is the same thing I know everybody feels when they lose a loved one. And I would say Sophie is the closest, I was going to say closest person, closest entity that I've lost, you know, as an adult. And so I question whether or not, you know, I did everything for this little dog. She's had chemotherapy and two surgeries, and she was getting another shunt for her neck, for her kidneys, and so forth. So I did everything for her. Now I question, was I fully present for her?
Yeah. It's like, were you doing everything for her?
I did everything for her.
Was it for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, was it more for you than Sophie? And these are just interesting things to look at.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you discuss Sophie, you know, I can see her and I don't even know what kind of dog she was. And I think I do. But I mean, yeah. But as we think of her, don't you see her? Mm-hmm. I see her and I never met her. Don't you see her? So she died. Is it true? I mean, they don't die. And every time this visit, they come to our mind, like, so it becomes to your mind. She hits your mind and then love happens.
Right.
And we name it sadness. But all of those years, 13 years being with Sophie are there. And like you did with your sickness, if you allow it, she never leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of love, you know, I'd like to say, no one can leave me. They don't have that power. It's here. It's here in your mind, and it hits your heart.
Right. Correct. All right. So let's see how the work works for an issue that has been troubling me for as long as I can remember. Actually, I can remember how long it's been troubling me. My weight. You said that you were, because when I was reading this, I was thinking, oh, well, you need to write a book for how this works for weight. Mm-hmm. I thought I had beat the weight game. I thought it was over for me and that I had it under control. And last year, it is true that I had what the doctor said was a thyroid issue. And I went to the doctors and the doctor said to me, well, you're going to gain weight. You must learn to embrace hunger because you're going to gain weight. I couldn't believe this was happening to me, who's had a quote, weight issue my whole life. And now I go to the doctor who says, you have an issue now that's actually going to make you gain weight. Mm-hmm. What I now think is I didn't have to gain weight, but what I did was I believed the doctor.
Yes.
I believed the doctor, so I stopped working out as much. I believed the doctor, so I just sort of started
cause and effect. Yeah, you believe, and then the effect happens.
Right. Okay, so in terms of the work, I am sick of the struggle with weight. I'm sick of it. I believe that is true.
Yes. Okay, so you're sick of weight being an issue in your life. Can you absolutely know that it's true that you're sick of it? You say you are, and can you absolutely know that it's true that you're sick of it?
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes.
So what happens to you when you think the thought, I'm sick of the struggle in my life?
What happens to me? I get frustrated. I have to, I'm thinking about what I should eat or I shouldn't eat, what I ate yesterday, what I shouldn't have eaten yesterday, what I'm going to eat tomorrow, you know, 3 weeks from now, I have something coming up with the party in Maya Angelou's. Will I eat there? Will I drink there? Will I have no champagne? Will I eliminate champagne?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah. So what do you think about your body, Oprah?
What do I think of it?
Yeah. What do you think of it? How do you see it? It's stress-wise. stressful thought was.
I wish it were a size 10 and not a size 14.
Okay. So you think your body is too large?
Yes.
Okay. So is it true your body is too large?
True for whom?
For you.
Is it true for me?
For you, because that's all you're ever going to have to deal with.
That's right, because it's just my business.
And there are people who weigh less than you do who think they're obese. Yeah. There are people who weigh a lot more than you do.
Is it true for me that I think that my body is too large? Yeah, it is.
Okay. So your body is too large.
Mm-hmm.
Can you absolutely know that it's true your body is too large?
For me? Well, for my mind it is.
Your body's too large. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
Well, I can't absolutely know that it's true because obviously it's serving a purpose.
So I invite you to commit to a yes or a no, because the work stops working the moment you stop answering the questions. What happens is the mind wants you to defend what you're believing. It wants to justify what you're believing. And the work, when you answer the questions, is cut through it. So commit to a yes or a no.
A yes or a no.
Uh-huh.
Too large for me. Is the question.
Can you absolutely know that your body is too large?
No.
Oh, you're amazing.
You know, the reason why I know it can't be, I can't be absolutely true that my body is too large, because it is. It is, and it's working for me, and functioning, so I can't know that it absolutely is true.
And not only that, when
would I like it to be different? Yes, but that's not the question you asked.
No, and that is different. It's like, who needs God when I have my opinion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know my body's too large, and it is arguing with reality, and this is a little strange for now. Let's move to the third one. How do you react? What happens to your life when you believe this thought? Such a huge question.
Yeah.
And you answer for millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people going through this.
I feel frustrated. I feel, anxiety. I get anxious, not depressed, because I feel not good about myself. I feel like I should be doing better.
Mind shows you images. It compares you to a size 10 or a size 8. And then you watch other people and you compare your body. That's how the mind works when you believe the thought, my body's too large.
I'm so sick of it.
And you become sick of it. And then also, how do we react when we believe the thought, our bodies are too large? We eat more. We become like this is hopeless.
You know why we eat more? Because you want to feel better about the fact that your body
War with the innocent.
Yes. I'm talking to Byron Katie here, a woman who truly, truly loves what is, author of Loving What Is, and she's working, doing the work with me here, literally.
So we see how we react when we believe the thought, and we even become bitter. And some of us do become depressed. And who would you be? The fourth question, who would you be without the thought? My body is too large.
I'd be so joyful.
Yeah.
I'd be able to go through my closet and get dressed in the morning without thinking about what's going to fit instead of,
Yeah.
I'd just move through life. I wouldn't have this as an issue. I could let this go.
And isn't that the very thing you want?
And I could give so much more energy to so many other things.
And isn't that what you think you're going to have when you're at the size 10 or the size 8? I mean, I say skip all of that and have it from here, right now.
How am I going to do that if I believe my body's too large?
Oh, that's okay. So we're not there yet. So just to notice that with the thought, a lot of stress. Without the thought,
what if I let
happy.
Go of that thought? I would be so much happier.
Okay. Now, I'm not asking you to let go of the thought.
You're not.
I'm not even asking you to change it. I'm not asking anything, just your answers. So what we've learned from you is with the thought, stress, and everything else that we discussed.
Right.
Without the thought, happiness.
Right.
Joy. Your mind not on the body.
Right.
Okay. So with the thought, stress, without the thought, no stress. So how can the body be the problem?
My body is not the problem. It's what I think about it.
Okay. So let's go back to an example. Give me an example of the turnaround. My body is not too large.
My body is not too large because it functions for me and allows me to be able to get up and move through life every day and speak to the world from a sacred space. My body is not too large.
It's not too large to be yours. It's too large to be hers. It's not large enough to be his or hers. This is right here, right now. It is the perfect weight, the perfect size to be you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be thinner next week. Mm-hmm. I only have one thing to deal with. What am I going to put in my mouth right here, right now?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Not forever, just in this moment. And then I notice I eat what I eat or I don't. And I'm just noticing.
Yeah, being more conscious.
And until then, I am the perfect size to be me. Somebody's got to be you, Oprah. No one else could do it. You're the one, and this is what it takes, but only right here, right now.
When you learn to do the inquiry of the work, mm-hmm. which are the four questions, mm-hmm. is it true? Is it really mm-hmm. true? The third one I forgot.
How do you react? What happens to your life, your entire life, when you believe that thought?
And the fourth one?
Who would you be without that thought?
And then you turn it around.
And then you turn it around.
If you apply that to everything in your life.
Then you wake up. You wake up to reality. You wake up. You know, this is about the end of suffering. You know, Oprah, if heaven were the most marvelous, marvelous place, everyone wants to go to heaven, or people that do and believe in it. If you died and went to heaven where everything was perfect, there was no suffering, there was no sorrow, there was no misery. If you died and went to heaven and you took what you're believing to heaven with you, where would you be?
Right.
On earth.
On earth.
So I woke up and I discovered heaven. I'm in heaven and I am inviting everyone to it. And I can't take you there. But people who answer these four questions and turn around and sit and get very still can take them there.
The four questions,
their mind is open to it.
Loving what is. Byron Katie, it's been a joy having you here. I mean, really. All right. My body is fine the way it is.
In this moment.
In this moment right
now. Argue with it and you miss the beauty. Was the beauty of you, and that certainly isn't like you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.